Okay, everyone, welcome. Sandra's mother, Mrs. Geller.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. Nice to have you here. And God willing, you should be here for many happy occasions.
Amen.
The first thing we have to ask ourselves is, are you allowed to set up a Shabbos clock in the first place? So everybody says, of course you're allowed to set up a Shabbos clock. Why not? Right? Why not? So I'll explain to you why not, and we'll see. We'll see if there's a reason why not. Of course, we all know that they're permitted, but you have to know why they're permitted. Okay? So let's say, for example, so I'm going to explain to you. The first thing we have to learn is that there's a halakha principle called grama. Grama means the Torah forbids me from doing a direct action that's going to result in a malacha. Okay, something prohibited. But what if I would do an action that would result in a violation of Shabbos, but I'm not doing it myself? It's an indirect reaction. Mm-hmm. That's called grama. Let's look at this from Rabbi Ribbian, source one. Because we need to understand the grama to understand what's going on here. The term grama refers to a situation in which a malacha is caused, intentionally or unintentionally, by an indirect chain reaction that occurs only after the person's initial act. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doing it, but I cause a chain reaction which will cause it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Note, the indirect chain reaction must be delayed. An indirect act of malacha that occurs simultaneously is not grama, it's the act itself. Okay, so let's say...
I have a question. What if I set a coffee pot on a timer to go off before Shabbos and for the timer on the hot pot to go off after Shabbos begins? In other words, I want to brew coffee, so I can have brewed coffee after dinner.
Yeah.
So the timer goes off, let's say 7 o'clock, Shabbos starts, if we make early Shabbos, 7:30.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying, it's indirect, I'm setting it in the...
Yeah, but in that case, you didn't even do anything, because it was permitted for you to set the brewer to go off at 7 o'clock.
But my next question is, there's a little heating coil on the bottom that keeps the coffee hot.
So, you put something on the heating coil before Shabbos?
That was my
hurt,
so I should not.
You mean like black. Aluminum foil?
Yes, it does become like a black, but it has a switch on it. Mm. So you could leave it on if, remember, we take us way back to the beginning.
Right.
If it's fully cooked on there before Shabbos, you're permitted, so what? You're permitted to leave something fully cooked on an exposed fire on Shabbos. What is it a black there for? Remember, you're not allowed to put it back.
Right, so I want to take the coffee and serve it.
Right, you just can't put it back. You can take the coffee and serve it. In that situation, you wouldn't have to. It would never come. If you put something over the heating coil, then if you wanted to put it back, yes.
Yeah, because if you want to keep it hot until the next, as long as it'll stay hot.
Until the next morning?
I don't know. They don't stand.
Oh, right. They don't say that long.
No,
right.
No.
What?
I'm not.
It would shut itself off.
I'm
right.
This is the part that the coffee pot goes off. That timer, that bottom part, after 2 hours, it has a shaky feature.
Right.
It goes off by itself.
Uh-huh.
That was my question.
No.
Is that permitted? I'm not setting it. Would that be the delayed reaction we're talking about?
Yeah.
2 hours into shock.
That's fine.
Is the inner nature of that.
We're going to talk about that. So we're talking about an indirect premise, an indirect action. So direct actions are prohibited due to Arisa. But the Torah didn't prohibit indirect actions. Let me give you another example of something where you would do a malacha, but it's not prohibited by the Torah. Let's talk about this extensively.
To do it on Shabbos?
On Shabbos. Where you would do something, but it's not Torah prohibited.
It's like open the fridge.
Not grama. Another type of halacha where you would do something directly, but it's not prohibited from the Torah. You should know this because it happens to you all the time.
Right.
Very good. Right. So we said, and that's called shinui. Very good. Right, meaning, the Torah prohibits you doing something on Shabbos in the direct, normal way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so writing, for example, so we say if you have to do it for whatever reason, for legitimate reasons, then you do it with a shinui. So here also, grama is going to be another way of doing things that are necessary, that are needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see.
Writing?
What?
And then writing?
Yeah, if a doctor has to write, right, or whatever. You know, right. For example, when my wife was in labor, so they wouldn't give the epidural without a signature. So she used to do it, right? She would have signed anyway. Right, switch the hand or whatever. We aren't really sure what she wrote, but it was...
Now.
She just took the pen. She was lying there. Took the pen. She... Bam! Okay.
Actually, the advantage of having our Jewish hospital that many years ago was, we didn't have to sign. They said you can sign it all after Shabbos.
Hmm. Really? I think that the difference between that was, that was then, and this is now. No, no.
Even a Jewish hospital.
I don't think it's a matter of a Jewish hospital or not a Jewish hospital. Right, with liability, but.
Oh, yeah.
They would never do it today.
No.
Okay. Well, however be applicable, Grandma is not prohibited by the Araisa because the Torah specifically denotes ma'aseh, an action, when referring to the ban against. My God, did you bring the whole hardware store?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Excellent.
He's got every timer under the sun.
I asked him. Is that what I asked him for? I know I had the right man.
But okay. Bronchi,
what
am I reading?
Holy
I'm
yeah.
Not one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, this is great, Eddie. You're perfect.
Yeah.
Well, this I don't need. Okay.
Why, what's that one? That's the whole house timer?
Oh, this is the whole house timer?
That's the whole house timer?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I would like to thank Eddie for being clap man today. A round of applause.
Oh, wow. This is
the best timer.
Okay.
Eddie.
This is great. Okay. Thank you, Eddie. He's going to get some fruit. I was getting some fruit. I didn't know he was. Okay.
Can I sit that box?
This one?
No, the other one.
The same thing, I think. Okay, same.
Yeah, this is the.
Oh, thank you.
Well, luckily, applicable. The government is not prohibited in the Raisa because the first specifically denotes Ma'ase. I'm referring to the ban as Malacha. This indicates that only direct action is excluded in the ban. However, in most instances, grama is rabbinically forbidden, as will be explained further. So I just left you one example. Putting out poisons to kill rodents is forbidden. Is a forbidden grama act of Shochet. Right? Malacha of Shochet, i.e.
putting up the poison on Shabbos.
Yes, on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Okay.
The Malacha of Shochet occurs only after the initial act of the person is completed. In this case, the animal itself completes the action of killing itself by coming to the poison and eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's true. Mm-hmm. The animal kills itself. Even so,
helpful.
The good ones, they do, yes. Even so, putting out poison is rabbinically prohibited according to most posts.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, putting out poison on Shabbos. On Shabbos.
Okay.
Right, on the rest of the week, you should, because it's gross. But on Shabbos, you would not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the things that we actually should look into, I was speaking to Stephen before about it as a shul, very often we have emergencies where doctors have to make a phone call.
Oh, boy.
So in Israel, you're not allowed to make a phone call. So in the case of great need, one is permitted to make a phone call, especially pikuach nefesh and things like that.
Your pinky.
Right, you're supposed to do it very good with a shinoi. Very good. But in addition, if the more you can minimize the violations of Shabbos, the better off you are. So in Israel, there's a machon, there's this organization called Machon Tzomek. Tzomek literally means crossroads. And they deal with the issue of the crossroads of halacha and technology and halacha and modern life. And they've designed a telephone which works on the principle of grama. Meaning?
Some doctors have
them. Yes, some doctors have them in town. In town, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still has one?
Yeah.
So we should for sure have one. But they definitely have to have one. Okay.
Steve, yeah, what is it? How does it work?
How does it work? What it does is, it's in a, electronically, it's in a constant state of dialing.
Mm.
It's always dialing. When you press a button, it cancels out all the other numbers except the one you press. So instead of
that's how it's called.
Somehow it's called the gramophone. That's all I know. I mean, yeah, I'm not an electronic engineer.
Someone from Dr. Kahnberg?
Tenenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You often have to make phone calls?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Something to be aware of.
No.
Okay. So now that we know about grama, what about Shabbos class?
Shabbos class? What do you mean?
If I'm not allowed to cause an action to occur on Shabbos, how could I set a clock, which I know I'm going to set it now, and then, you know, oh, in 2 hours it's going to turn off, 2 hours it's going to turn on.
But you cannot catch it on Shabbos. You mean before Shabbos.
Let's talk about it. We'll see in a second. Another question will be, can I adjust a Shabbos clock? So Amir says, hey, as long as I'm setting it before Shabbos, is that a problem? So is there a problem of grama from before Shabbos?
No.
You're all sure?
No, we're not.
Okay. Right. Mini, can I do an act? Can I do something that's going to cause something else to happen on Shabbos? We will see. We're going to talk about it. Usually, yes, but not in every case. And what about on Shabbos itself? So we'll soon see. Says the Mishnah in source number 2. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas Omer. Now, this is a, it's a very serious thing in olden times. Person or shall gedi al gabe shida teva umigdal sha'achaz behem et ha'or. When they spread the hide of a kid over a shida, a teva, a migdal, over like a you know, like you have a chest, mm-hmm. and you caught on fire. So you can spread the hide over it in which the fire has caught, because it is singed.
Singed.
Burned.
Burned.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
What? Why would you want to spread this this skin?
No, singed. I meant the word singed is burned.
Yeah. The, because what? The hide is already singed. The osu mechitza, meaning why would you want to put a hide over your
smother it.
Yeah, smother it. So you're not allowed to smother it actively, but what do you know? You know, I'm spreading it over there, and in and of itself, it prevents the fire from spreading.
Sure.
Give me another example. And one second, also the osu mechitza b'chol hakelim bein meleim bein reikanim b'sfir shelo ta'avor hadleika. Let's say my candle, my tablecloth caught on fire. Okay, and what am I supposed to do? So now I take FET, okay? The fire is on this piece of paper, right? And I don't want it to spread. So I take this, keep cutting up the tea, and I put it right there.
Sure.
What's going to happen?
When it's going to burn, the color
will come out. The water will come out.
So am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Now let's make it clear, okay? And he makes a very clear rabbi in his book. If there's any doubt whatsoever that anyone could be in danger from this fire,
yeah.
Well, it's not supposedly you should go.
You live in an apartment.
Yeah.
Okay? Put it out.
Yeah. Okay.
I live in Oak Park. Any way you can. I live in Oak Park. The houses are very close to one another. I can't just sit by and say, oh, whatever, nothing's going to happen. What about the fireman that's going to go? I have to put out the fire after mm-hmm. I let it grow to whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? Put it out.
Okay.
Now, let's say you lived in Bluefield Township, right?
Okay, no.
And you live on, you're a very wealthy doctor. You live on a 17, what? Oh, okay. 17 acre estate, and your house is in the middle of, you know, wide expanses of land. So now, what do you know? On Shabbos, your beautiful 20,000 square foot mansion unfortunately catches fire.
How do you use insurance?
What?
They refuse to pay off.
Well, then?
What's
the
name? Aretha Franklin.
Yeah,
he's got it.
No, he's got it.
Right? So then Amir is not allowed to put out the fire. Nobody's in danger. The children are out in the house. He's alone. Then he would not be permitted to put out the fire, as we'll soon see, because it's Shabbos versus money. Even a lot of money. But it's still dangerous. It's still a fire. So are you allowed to do something to indirectly cause the fire to go out? It's called, as we say, gram kibui. Gramming from the grama. Kibui is from mechabe, the melacha of extinguishing a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Gram kibui. Mechabe is forbidden. Let's say, for example, you had to drive to the hospital for an emergency. You're not allowed to turn off your car.
Yeah.
Because that's
it's
mechabe.
Extinguishing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What happens if you're afraid somebody's going to steal? What happens if you go into a dangerous neighborhood, to a hospital, and you're afraid somebody's going to steal your car and kill somebody?
Oh.
You know, you want to carry this to all the extremes. Let's carry it to all the extremes.
Can you give me the answer?
Yes, because they go to the emergency entrance, and they're saying the barrier.
Yeah.
Who goes in and out of the hospital and all of that.
You say to him, I have a medical emergency.
Pardon me?
I have a medical emergency. My car is running in the driveway, and it's his job to make sure that driveway is clear. He will go park it and hold on to your keys. Right?
Yeah.
I bet you they have that sometimes. I wouldn't even tell you. You could tell them for religious reason, but I'll bet you that happens sometimes.
Sure.
With the doctors, emergency, ER doctors, they're running in, so they leave the car, whatever. Okay. Fine. So you're allowed to put them. Bain, what? What?
Not
I didn't tell you anything.
So what? You told your owner about
running.
I left my car running in the driveway. See ya. No, we talked about that. I'm not allowed to ask him to turn it off. Right?
But you're just making a statement that you're in.
Right. I left my car running in the emergency, in the ER, in the ambulance way. You could leave it there if you like.
Right? You can tell them park.
I'm say, as soon as
you can, you can tell them to park because that doesn't mean they need to turn it off.
In that case, they're only doing it for you once more anyway.
Guy attending to your place, he said, okay, as soon as you sign your patient, then go
back. That's what he said?
That's
what
it's called.
He could probably
say that.
No, he wouldn't.
It happened to me.
You could. What do you mean? That's what you did? You could just say it's my Sabbath. I can't move it, and I won't move it.
I was born on Sabbath. I can't move it. Just in case you hit.
You were born on Sabbath?
I was born on Sabbath.
All three of my children were born on Sabbath. Yeah.
And I said to George, since it already happened, how about, you know, study and learn what we can do, what we can't do. So he learned with my brother-in-law, my sister was doing the day after. We're both of the kids are
Shabbos. He did.
So he knew. So we basically drove up. Both doors were open. He left the car running. And
Did I ever tell you the story of my son, my first son being born? So I had not considered the possibility of my children being born on Shabbos. And Rita goes, I just hadn't thought about it. And Rita goes into labor on Friday, on Shabbos morning. And there I am, just totally lost. I don't know what to do. I'm sitting there, like, looking at the Shulchan Aruch, like, trying to find her. Oh, God, what do you do? We're just like, let's go! That's right. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Make my wife get dressed.
That's exactly what happened. No, you take a cab. Make a phone call. Make a phone call. I remember that ride vividly. The cabbie was a conductor for New Jersey Transit. What's he doing for New Jersey Transit? He was on medical disability and he was driving a cab. I remember it vividly. Like, oh God. Okay.
Sandra, you learned one session in English now.
That's right.
Let's go.
No.
Rabbi Yossi Osa Bekuchara Chadashi Malaya Mayim. Rabbi Yossi prohibits with new earthen vessels for the water. Why? Because any Yechon the Kabbalah Taor, they cannot withstand fire. They need Bakim Umachabin Et Hadaleka. Rabbi Yossi says, no, just save your own money, to save your table, to save your whatever. Ram Kibui is forbidden. You're not allowed to indirectly cause the extinguishing just for monetary gain. We don't pass that as Rabbi Yossi. You pass him like the Chachamim, and Ram Kibui is Moshe, page 2.
But you see, notice he says earthen vessels.
No, new earthen vessels.
Yeah, but a paper one will burn right to the water line, and it won't
go through.
We use the stocking in the cup right in the middle of the fire with water in it. The paper burns right down to the water line.
What?
The cup that has water in it, the part that has water in it, does not burn until the water evaporates.
Really?
Yeah, you can try it.
I was going to do it. Now I'm going to try it. Okay. That's important to know.
A paper cup.
Okay. Or, let's say, for example, the tablecloth, the other question would be, if the tablecloth is burning, and obviously, if it's in your house, do me a favor, take that. But, and this is a theoretical, you know what I'm saying, that nobody's in danger, blah, blah, blah. You would pour liquid, like soda, on the other side of the tablecloth, like around it where it's not burning. Because if you saturate that area, it won't spread. It can't spread. It will go out. It'll just burn itself out.
You can't. You can't help it.
No, because that you could do. In a case where you didn't put it out anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you're never going to be in that case, probably. I can't imagine.
Sure.
So put it out anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just tell you, it's so...
However you can, water, whatever.
Throughout history, these fires were considered unbelievably dangerous. I remember I spoke about him once, Rabbi Lindenthal from Connecticut. He was a rabbi of another shul, and he had retired. He used to daven in my shul in Mincha time. And he was from a village called Vizan in Poland. And he wrote a book called Pages of My Life, and he says there was once a fire. If one house caught fire, the whole village burned down. Because their roofs were thatched and straw. And he said, he remembers, there was a fire in the town, and literally 3/4 of the village burned down, and they had to rebuild from nothing. You know, and so they took these things very, very, very seriously. They were unbelievably dangerous. They didn't have water. Like, once it was burning, goodbye. It was done. Okay. Gimel. Do they kasha nafla b'Shabbos? So if something catches on fire on Shabbos, if you're just putting it out to save your money, chayav. On page 3, can't do it. Chayav means diaraita. She ain't ibud mamon, doche shabbat, ela ibud nefashos. Because money doesn't take precedence over Shabbat, but human life does. And that's a hard one. You know, you watch your house burn down. It's a tricky one. You know, but that's the challenge of Shabbos. Nobody's in danger. And
you can take
down.
Things out. That's okay.
Oh, sure.
There's an Eruv.
This is an Eruv. Right? But if you would be in a place where you wouldn't be able to put your house down, you would not be able to save your house,
yeah.
You're probably not going to have an Eruv either.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What? Like
25
acres
for me to own. I guess that's true. The therefore, Yetzu b'nei Adam k'dei shelo yamutu, v'yanichu esh t'lehet. Get all the people out and let it burn. V'afir l'sarefet kol ha'medina kula.
Okay, now is there a danger that if you allow...
Yes, clearly, obviously.
A danger to life?
Yes, he's making a point, but he's saying if there was, in theory, a danger to life, you'd put it up.
Even the animals?
No.
That's a tricky one.
Sorry. An animal's considered property. What did you have for dinner tonight?
Chicken.
Okay, you made my point.
No, but my cat is not chicken.
Right. It is to somebody else.
No, it isn't.
Yes, in China it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. But you can take it out, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Sure. But you couldn't put it out to save your cat's life.
I mean, you don't put it off.
If everybody was out of the barn, if everybody was out of the barn, except for your cat, you would not be able to put out the fire in order to save your cat.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Sorry. But hopefully your cat will live and be well. Okay? Dalit. What?
Six lives left.
It's not saying your cat is not important, but it's not more important than the value of Shabbat. Okay? Dalit. Mutar la'asot. So he passed like the Chachamim. Mutar la'asot l'chitza b'chol ha'kelim. Bein mle'im. Bein rikanim. Kedei shelo ta'avor ha'dleka. Right, you're going to put their things so that the fire won't pass. A few kli cherechad asim leim, I'm even new earthenware utensils. Osim emechitza apa pishavada mitbakim umechabim. Even though they're going to break and they're going to splash, nonetheless, I lost my place. Shagram kiboy mutar. See that word? Shagram kiboy mutar. If you're interested, you could underline those three words. Gram kiboy is permitted. You're allowed to initiate something on Shabbat. Now we pass in, it's only mutter, it's only permitted, but makom hesed, in case of great need. So you couldn't just do it because I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Let's say you said, well, I'm going to sleep now, and it'd be a real shame to waste these candles. Candles back then were, you know, a little bit of money. So why don't I take a little water, if I had like a candle holder, take a little water and put it in the candle, and then as soon as it gets down to that level, the candle will go out.
Mm-hmm.
No, now you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. It has to be Hesed Merubah, great meat. You know what I'm saying? But not just because I feel like it. You're not allowed to do it just because I feel like it. So normally, Gram Kiboy is not permitted, but in case of great need, the Rambam says, then it would be permitted. Okay, so let's go get the Shulchan Aruch. We'll get a little closer to town, to home. What about setting that up before Shabbos, though?
I'm sorry?
What about if I want to set that up before Shabbos?
What?
With the water. Why not?
Well, Shabbos candles specifically should burn until the end, or not?
No. That's true. Mm-hmm. Shabbos candles should burn until you don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Once I'm going to sleep. What if I put, you know, I don't need a 24-hour candle.
Mm-hmm.
So says the Shulchan Aruch. They had a problem, especially their candles. Our candles burn very cleanly. But they used to have all kinds of different candles, and they would drip.
Mm.
And if you've ever seen a wax candle drip in such a way that there are sparks coming off the wax, right, it could be very, very dangerous. Okay, so what happens if sparks are coming out? Are you allowed to put something under there to catch the sparks? Mm. So we're going to say yes. The answer is yes. What if I want to save the wax? Why would I want to save the wax?
To make more
candles. I don't want to waste it. Right, exactly. So you're not allowed to save the wax. Notin kli tachat haner lekabel nitzotzot. You're allowed to put a vessel, utensil under the candles to catch the sparks. Bidnei she'ein behem mamash, because there's nothing to them. V'ein kan bitul kli mehechano. The reason why you can't catch the wax is because if I have a usable cup before Shabbos, if it catches wax, that would make the cup muktzah, because the wax itself is muktzah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not allowed to take a kli, a usable kli, and make it something that's muktzah on Shabbos. Okay, there's a separate reason. Aval lo yitein l'tocho mayim afilu mibaod yom. But, let's say, for example, I know I'm going to catch sparks, so I'm going to put water in the cup, and then the sparks are going to fall into the cup, into the water. Why? B'nei shemekareid zman kibui hanitzotzot. Because you are bringing the time of this extinguishing of these sparks closer. doesn't sound so good, even though in doing it before Shabbos, I'm not allowed to set it up in such a way where it's going to make something go out faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like a?
Shabbos cook.
Right.
But you start to go off during Shabbos.
Oh, man. Can you believe Shabbos class with an usher all this time and you didn't even know it? Scared y'all. It's not usher. No, no.
Wait a minute.
Can you imagine somebody listening to your tape and turning it off then?
Well, we had the Iron Black here last year.
Yeah.
Weren't the cock pots set to go off after lunchtime?
Ready?
Probably.
No. I don't think so.
They were all day.
It's a waste of electricity, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We put a little aluminum foil on there so
right.
we can lift them up.
Right.
So let's see. Why is it forbidden to put that cup to catch those sparks? Why can't you put water in there? Says the Mr. Brewer. He says, see the Mr. Brewer on the bottom? Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Al-Gab de Bishar Malachot, Kaimalan de Sharila Tchilatomi Ba'od Yom. Hamalacha nigmeret b'Shabbos. He says anything else you're allowed to do it during the day and before Shabbos and allow it to continue on Shabbos. Give me a good example of something you can start before Shabbos and let it finish on
Cook.
Shabbos. Cooking, absolutely.
Okay.
Right? You need to put something in.
Oh. Sure.
So, all these things. Kamor shekatav siman beis min bet v'lo gazmin an shema yatchil la'asot kein b'Shabbat. And we're not afraid maybe you're going to come to do it on Shabbat. Sha'ani hatam. But this case was different. Ta'kol yodin shehu melacha v'lo yitu la'asot kein b'Shabbat. Nobody's going to start cooking a cholent on Shabbos because they see that you're eating hot cholent. Right? But in our case, yesh lachos shema yachshov she'im b'zeh shum iser v'yasa kein b'Shabbat. Someone's going to see that there's a cup of water under my lamp and see the things dripping in. So what's the problem there? So they're going to take, the next time they're going to go home, fill a cup with water and also put it under their lamp to make sure that the sparks go out. And they weren't permitted to do that on Shabbos. So the rabbis knew that since somebody would come to do it on Shabbos, they prohibited you from doing that even before Shabbos. Does that apply to our Shabbos clock example?
No.
Not at all. Right. Does not apply to Shabbos clocks at all. So you can all breathe easy, and it's not prohibited to use a regular Shabbos clock on Shabbos. Okay? Now, it is very, I will point out, when they asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein whether you could use a Shabbos clock on Shabbos, he paskin that you were only permitted to use a Shabbos clock on Shabbos for lights.
And not TV or radios, yeah.
No, not TVs or radios, not anything
air
else. Not air conditioners, nothing. Oh, that for sure you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
Nobody asked Rabbi Moshe about a football game. He said nothing else. Not air conditioners, not, I don't know, whatever.
Well, air conditioners, you don't need a time clock.
Why?
Someone said takes care of that.
No, but
yeah. I mean, famous the whole house air conditioner. What about him when he doesn't have a thermostat? He has
a window
unit.
They have thermostats in it.
No, but for example, I don't want it at 3 a.m. It gets too cold, so I would like.
It's not even too cold. It's a waste of electricity.
Yeah,
yes.
Or when we're on the show, where we have it open. I mean,
New York apartments on the Lower East Side didn't have central air conditioning.
No, right. That's where most of it is. But he felt, I'll just point out, he says the reason he felt that you were not permitted to use a Shabbos clock is because people would think that you turned it on and would be permitted to turn it on. You have to remember, though, right, like Mara Stein. So he said lights, everybody knows they're Shabbos clock for lights, but not for other things. So you have to remember,
everybody knows that there's a Shabbos clock for lights.
Yes.
But they didn't know that you used
at that time.
Shabbos
at that time, it was a new innovation.
So what's the post-kim now?
What? At that time, right? It was a relatively new innovation. So he felt that it was not up. But nowadays, everybody, the world does not hold like Rav Moshe, and they use Shabbos clocks for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting phenomenon to see the two of us, to see that he was not a big fan of Shabbos clocks in the first place. He just didn't like it. He didn't like the idea of setting something to go on from before Shabbos.
Electricity was cheaper than.
So can you use a Shabbos clock now?
Yeah.
On a wall air conditioner?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we do. Now, that's not what we're going to talk about. Well, you can use, so clearly, you can use a Shabbos clock to make something go on and off, because I'm not afraid that I'm going to come to Eddie's house and say, ooh, the air conditioning just went off. I could turn it off too in my house. We're not afraid of that because everybody knows what a Shabbos clock is. Now, Eddie, here's the problem. I come to Amir's house, and for some reason he thought he was going to take a nap at 3 o'clock on Shabbos afternoon. Mm-hmm. So he set his Shabbos clock to go off at 3 o'clock. Right? And we're sitting there having lunch. Right? So he set his I'm glad you brought this one. This is great. Okay. He set his Shabbos clock to go off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Good. 3 o'clock. 1 second. Let's go before it. It's now, we go to his house. He invited me for lunch. It's now 1 o'clock. We're sitting and talking. It comes 2 o'clock. We're having a great time. What? We haven't, there's no chance we're going to bench. It's 95 degrees outside, right? So Amir realizes if the Shabbos clock turns off that air conditioner, the rabbi's leaving.
Exactly. Depends how you look at it.
Right.
Let's turn it earlier.
No suit for you. Okay. So Amir wants
to extend it.
He wants to extend it. Can you adjust the Shabbos clock or not? What?
But it's muksa. Uh-huh.
Number one, it's muksa, it's electric thing.
But you're still, oh, and extend how long
extend,
back,
like,
and then actually change
it. Like,
the same,
like
this. And this one, how would you extend it?
You have
to
touch it.
If you lift it up and pull it out, that means my good.
On this one, you can extend it, you would just do this.
I know. There's no way.
That's what you would do.
Oh, you
would just take it off.
That's a circuit. That's
you have this.
Is this a circuit, Eddie?
No.
What's this?
Not a circuit.
Okay, how do these things work? You notice on the inside. Here,
yeah, there's a,
like,
there's,
how they work.
There's a pin.
On the inside is a pin, right?
Yeah.
These are just switches.
It's the same like this.
No, but there's mukse.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. There's a switch here from on and a switch for off. Okay? And these pins are calibrated. One of them pushes the on. You'll notice one of them is closer to the inside, and one is closer to the outside. One is off. Okay?
Sorry.
So it was on. Right? It was on. Oh. Did you break my Shabbos clock? It was on. And it was going to go off. So all I did was, I took away its ability to go off. Okay? That's all I did. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos or not?
I would say no.
It's a machlokes between the class. Okay, let's look. Turn to page 3. This is from the Shabbos Home, Volume 2. The Art Scroll book on Shabbos. You almost never find what I'm going to show you today. Almost never find. When I look at these different books, these English books, almost always they say exact same things in different ways. They have each have their style. This is fascinating. Adjusting timers on Shabbos. According to the view of Hagaon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, it is forbidden under any circumstances to adjust a timer on Shabbos. In some cases, this involves a Torah prohibition. In others, it involves a rabbinic prohibition. Thus, one who wishes to cause an appliance or light to be turned off or on earlier than originally intended may not adjust a timer to achieve that effect. Not only is one forbidden to cause a light or skip to the next paragraph. Not only is one forbidden to cause a light or appliance to turn off, on, or off at a different time than originally scheduled. One is forbidden to simply cancel the scheduled action and cause the light or appliance to remain in its present state. So it says, I can't do that on Shabbos. Okay? This is because the mere handling of the timer is forbidden under the prohibition of muksa. One is permitted, however, to instruct a non-Jew to perform any of these actions on Shabbos. Why can you ask a non-Jew to do it?
Because you're not causing anything to be changed. The light is on, you want to keep it on, so you don't set it.
Remember,
the light stays on.
You're not supposed to ask.
No. So why are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it?
Yeah.
Because it's only us. Remember, it's only us. It means Rabbanan, rabbinically. So Amir la'akum, asking a non-Jew is also only prohibited midrabbanan. So we would call that a shvus de shvus, a rabbanon on the rabbanon. And the rabbis never decreed a derabbanon on another derabbanon. Uh-huh. So you can't ask a non-Jew to do a deoraisa for you. But you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanon
for
you.
But it says that implies both. The rabbanon and the raisa. And it says in some cases this involves a Torah prohibition also.
Good point. All right. That's a good question. I think he was referring to the derabbanon action. But if Rav Moshe felt it was their right, it's interesting. Now, I find it interesting, by the way, that he passed according to Rav Moshe, but he omitted the point that Rav Moshe himself said you're not allowed to use timers for most things. He didn't note that, which is I found that pretty interesting. But, let's see the reason. He says, I included the footnote for you, because the footnotes is where all the action takes place. Right? See on the bottom,
The whole Hebrew is in
skip the first paragraph, skip to the second paragraph. Uba orech chayin, see where it says uba och Orech Chaim Shimon Tzadi Aleph Okay, and Orech Chaim in his Chuvas and Bamas Chuvas. Kasha Maran Zatzal Mizelashon. He writes, Ulhaziz et Shaon Hashabbat Shema Amidim Me'erev Shabbos, to move the Shaon Shabbat Shabbat that you put it Erev Shabbos. Shechaber Shidalek L'Shah Plonis. So you set it up to say go up at a certain hour. Kedei LeKarev Hazman Olahachik Hazman DeHadlaka Asher Kemadlik BeElectri Mitchila. He says it's forbidden, you're not allowed to do it at all. Electric, right. Amnam, that's my favorite word. Amnam, what does amnam mean? But. Amnam means but. Ayin the Mimchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Gimel. Look in the book, if you look in the book, Mimchas Shlomo. Shahagon of Shlomo Zalman Orbach is that Zal. You know this is a recent book. How do you know it's a recent book?
Because
he called Rav Shlomo Zatzal.
Right. Rav
Shlomo Zalman passed away only, I think, 2-3 years ago, not more than that. Yesh lo shita acheret mi maran. He has a different view on this whole thing. Behitir bekama ofanim mahaziz haborig b'Shabbos, and he permitted in a number of different ways to move the switch on Shabbos.
But it's not as specific.
What? Rav Moshe says it's mukta, it's not permitted.
Oh, okay.
That's what he says.
So we are not allowed to.
But there's another rabbi who.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm just showing you something interesting. What kind of muksa, if you recall, what kind of muksa would you say this is?
Muksa that it has no function in Shabbos.
No function in Shabbos?
No, it has a function in Shabbos.
It does have function
in
Shabbos.
Yeah.
It's electric.
Why would you be picking it out?
Of all the different uses, what would you consider it to be?
Cheating.
So remember there are different types of muksas. Yeah. There's muksa machmas atmo, muksa machmas iser. But sometimes you were permitted, some cases of muksa you were not permitted to move it at all. In other cases of muksa you were permitted to move it under certain circumstances. Remember the example we used of a screwdriver. A screwdriver was called the klisha malachta le'iser, something that was normally used in a forbidden way. Mm-hmm. But what would happen if I would want to use it in a permissible way?
Like a pencil
member to mark the place, or my cell phone to, I don't know, use a paperweight or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Would I be permitted to do that? We said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's very easy to see in this case different rabbis disagreeing about the nature of muktza for a Shabbos clock. You're never going to look in the Gemara and say, well, what is a Shabbos clock? You have to use your own judgment and evaluate and decide, how do I look at this thing? Now, do people in their own minds, do they separate themselves from it before Shabbos, or do they consider that they're going to touch it on Shabbos? So it's very interesting. Sometimes different rabbis from different cultures in different areas will look at things in different ways. One could surmise that Rav Moshe living in America, in the wealthier country, said, when I set it on Shabbos, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly done.
Whereas in Israel, especially,
it's
you notice, in Israel, air conditioners are a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, very relatively new. When I was in Yeshiva, most places did not have air conditioning. Now they're very spoiled in Israel. Now they all have air conditioners. But it wasn't always that way.
You didn't even use light bulbs.
What?
I remember walking up 6 flights of stairs in Israel and had a little bulb that I used for a Shabbos light.
They
used that in the hallway.
And what's the proof? There you go, right. They press the button. In Israel, you want to press the button.
Oh, yeah, and it's
a
result after a while, 40
years ago, Michigan didn't have air conditioning.
Well, that was 40 years ago. And yeah, what's the proof of this? In Israel, you want hot water.
No, they're just not getting hot water.
No, you press the button, you turn it on.
Right.
And then it turns itself back off. Although I bet you they have, round the clock hot water and a lot of places. It's not so hot. It doesn't really work so well. Okay. So, Rabbi Moshe said it was muksa. Turn to the next page.
Page 4. How did you say it? Because he's a newer rabbi.
That's Sal. Zecher Tzadik was
Rabbi. But you said you knew he died recently because it didn't
happen. He died. No, I knew this book is written recently because he didn't die that long ago. And in the book he writes, that's Sal. He writes in A Blessed Memory.
Which
would
be the other way to say it?
He wouldn't say that's how the guy was still alive when he wrote it.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Okay. Yichya, right? He should live. And you ever see they call rabbis? You ever see in books they call? Oh, I saw Rabbi Eisenberger shlita. Right? You know what shlita means? Yichya leyamim tovim aruchim. He should have long life. So it always astounds me. Why is only a rabbi shlita? Why don't I say I saw Gene Tram shlita?
Because
what am I saying? I saw Gene Tram. He should live and be well.
140.
Thank you.
Right. Why is it only like, oh, I saw Rabbi and Shlita. How did it become that only rabbis should live and be well and not everybody else?
It's one of the two rabbinic times. It's the Rashi Shlita. Is that so?
Your reverence is getting okay. I'll give you, so this is from Shmir Shabbos Kiyokasa, right? Oh, the Shmir Shabbos Kiyokasa, I've told you before, is a relatively accepted authoritative work, and it's become very much accepted practice among Orthodox Jewry. Says the Shmir Shabbos, this is written by a man named Rabbi Neuwirth in Israel, very authoritative, very well accepted, and he followed the Piskei Halacha of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And throughout the book, in the footnotes, he's always asking Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he's asking questions. Says Shmir Shabbos, and this is there in your translation, it came out in English. A timer connected to an electric circuit may be set before Shabbos and Yom Tov to turn the current off and on at the desired time on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay? That's what happens when you use an OCR program and it doesn't know what Yom Tov is. Okay.
That was cute.
Hey, whether and in what, I'm skipping to 25 because 24 is dealing with an alarm clock. I don't even know what it's talking about.
Yeah. Maybe Shabbos alarm clock.
Alarm clock.
Alarm.
Yeah.
You keep calling it a Shabbos. What do you call it?
Shabbos clock.
Alarm clock.
There are also those that wake you up because people sleep through it. They have an alarm.
Yeah.
I do that.
Now, you for sure can't turn that off when you're...
No, for example, I have an alarm clock that turns off by itself. I mean, turns on, and after 2 minutes, it beeps for just 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's an alarm clock.
No, but I don't want to go into it. We'll read it afterwards.
Okay.
25. Whether in what circumstances the timer may be adjusted on Shabbos depends to a large extent on its design. There are timers which can be adjusted without interrupting their operation,
mm-hmm.
for instance by means of a movable dial,
yeah.
or indicators that are moved after being freed from a slot by the application of pressure,
mm-hmm.
and automatically catch in the slot in which they're released. So this would be a good example. Right, this one, I don't have to touch it, I don't have to stop the interrupt the flow in order to pull that out and to make it last longer.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. You can readjust.
We'll talk about what you can do. And it's very clear. Yes, it's very clear about what you can do. So clearly, the Shmir Shabbos says it's not muksa. It's obvious, because he doesn't even say it. He says there are timers which you can adjust. So he clearly says it's not muksa and it can be adjusted. Okay? There are others which temporarily cease to operate when being adjusted and can be restarted only by means of a direct, independent action, such as those adjusted by moving an indicator which first has to be unscrewed, like this one. Right? So in this one, in order to adjust it, I have to take the whole thing off, then change it, right? And then put it back in again.
That's the difference. I don't get it.
This is Moksha by Rabbi Moshe.
Why?
No, by Rabbi Moshe. We're not talking about Moshe. By the Shmir Shabbos, it's not.
What is this for
difference? Are you confused? I'll explain to you at the end.
I don't understand.
Hold on.
The difference between the two.
You do or you don't?
I don't.
In this one, well... Let's say I wanted to adjust it. So I need more pins, actually. It's a little hard because I don't have enough pins. But let's say if I wanted to go off...
You said you were visiting. You wanted to go off another hour later.
An hour later. So this one, I need more pins.
Just four.
Oh, can I open this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which one is which? I was getting messed up. Green is on. Okay? So let's say I have green on, and I want it to go on not at 5 o'clock... green is on, here we are. It's going to go on now at 6, it's going to go off at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want it to go on at 7.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. I don't want it to go on at 6. Okay? So let's just, I have to read through it and then we'll see. Okay. If a timer of the first variety was set before Shabbos, see where it says B25 2B.
Mm-hmm.
Time of the first variety. So you don't have to interrupt. I mean, you can do it without interrupt. If a time of the first variety was set before Shabbos to turn the current off or on at a particular time. So now, it's going this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I get to it, whatever, at 6 o'clock it's going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's going to go on at 6 o'clock. When they on Shabbos adjust it in such a way, the current will be turned off or on, as the case may be, at a later time, but not in such a way that it'll be turned off or on at an earlier time.
Huh.
I can't make something happen earlier, but I can make something happen
like
later.
Candle.
Why? Like the candle.
Candle.
Very good. That's Gram Kibui. Like, I can delay a process, but I can't initiate it to happen sooner. Remember, like I said, I couldn't take the water and stick it under, because then I'm causing the sparks to go out sooner. But I can delay that process. So how would I do it in this case? I want it to go off at 6 o'clock. I want to go off at 7, it's set for 6. If I would take this out, I would not be able to put it back in again. Why? Because as soon as I take it out, now when is it going off? On.
It's not.
Never. As soon as I take it out at the 6 o'clock, it's never going to go on. So now I'm going to say, well, it's never going to go on.
But you can put it on later.
No, I can't put it on now.
No, but you can put
it on. Do you understand what I'm saying? As soon as I took it out, the instant I take it out, that means it's never going on. So if I would put it back in at 7 o'clock now, I just initiated a new act. How do I solve this problem, Eddie? Use your cup.
Take the two.
So now why don't I take one out, put in the 7, put in the 7, and now it's going to go on. Right. And actually, when I put that 7 in, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's a meaningless act, because you'll see, when I get it to 6, right, it'll click.
It'll go on.
One, and then the next time, nothing happens.
Nothing.
It's a meaningless act.
And then you take the other.
Here. But,
if you
now I pull out the 6.
There's still one in there.
There's still one in there. It's a little confusing, but somewhat straightforward.
It makes a difference.
It's a big difference. Okay?
How
many things do you have? Oh, you can buy new things. You have to call the company. They send you like 30 of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I kept losing them.
Because
what would happen was that the air conditioner, you had an air conditioner like yours, and I would just say, you know what? I would just pull it out. And then, like, you know, I lost them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you got more pins? Oh, exactly. I was looking for this.
I have those.
Oh, no.
No, this is great, because these come
I have
in.
Those.
These other pins don't come out.
Yeah.
You put out the time that you
want.
Yeah,
we have those.
Yeah.
So this is actually the ideal kind.
But you can move them?
Oh, you can move them. If it's on, you can move it to stay on more. Mm-hmm. And if it's off, you can move it to stay off longer. But you can't make it go on earlier, and you can't make it go off earlier. You can only allow it to extend the period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So this, if you've asked me, this is the ideal kind to get. They're hard to get for air conditioners, aren't they?
We have one on the other.
Heavy duty? Okay,
yeah.
So this is exactly what I was... So let's say it's going to go on at 10 o'clock or whatever. I want it to stay on. So I can just...
I can
just... Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very... Well, it is very useful to have that.
I didn't know
In my living room, I have one of these.
What is that?
This is a 24/7 daytimer digital, which is very nice because you could just set it for the days, but you can't touch it. Digital, you can't touch.
Yeah.
This one also, you could... What could you do? You want it to stay on? You could do this. But once you do that,
you cannot put it
back in. Okay? Eddie, good props. Really, excellent. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Really? You actually can change it.
Yeah.
I just had it because I
can have it on and off. Can those go
for anything? That's exactly his point. Once you turn it, it's interesting. So once you can extend the time that it's on, you can extend the time that it's off, but you can never make anything earlier because then you're violating what we talked about, the idea of ground keyboard. You're causing something to happen before it would have happened.
Why would you want something to go on
earlier?
Later?
Why do you want something to go on later?
Give you a good example.
Yeah, let's say you set.
Oh, no, you want to keep those permits.
Let's say you go on. Let's say you go on. You set it by accident. You go on at 7 o'clock. You don't want to go on at 7 o'clock. You want it to go on at 12 o'clock when you're going to get home.
Oh, you're talking about lunch after.
Whatever.
Okay.
I mean, you can think about it. You
That's
know,
true.
The best example would be that I've seen it many times. You know, in Israel, we were at a friend's house and we're sitting around and the air conditioning is set. She was very poor. I mean, really, and she had set the air conditioning to go off and on intermittently. Because then we just set it to go off, and then, you know, and then half an hour later it would go on. But it was really hot. So she just kept, you know, like, keep it on. It was just too much.
I have a question. Let's say you set a timer to go on at 7, and it doesn't go on for some reason.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to then, adjust it and say, okay.
No, there's nothing you can do. You can't make it go on.
Okay.
Once it doesn't go on.
You can't set it for like an hour ahead and say, let's see if it'll... Go on at 8
because
it didn't go on at
7. Now, another example of grandma. Let's say somebody always asks me, can I set my dishwasher to go on Friday night?
Come on. Dishwasher?
Yeah.
No.
It's a great example. Hold on.
Why? If you do it before shower,
everybody has a timer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mine dishwasher. Mine does. Sure, I have a 4-hour timer. Let's say, for example, why would you do that? Hold on. Why would I do that? So let's say Saturday night, I want to take a shower. If I turn the dishwasher on, I'll take a bite of hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, can I set it for the 4-hour timer before Shabbos, and I'll load it up, and it'll go on by itself?
Mm.
The answer is no. Why? Very simple reason. Because it wouldn't go on without you closing it.
Because you're closing the door.
Right. And you're closing the door is the grama that permits that thing to happen.
Are you allowed to fill the dishwasher during Shabbos, but you don't intend to go on?
What?
Yeah. You can fill the
dishwasher. Yeah, sure. Another great example, excellent. Another great example of grama that they talk about, which is a machloket, is opening and closing the refrigerator or the oven.
Or dishwater.
Right. Exactly. So, for example, when you open the refrigerator, you're introducing warm air into a cold air environment, and you're going to cause the engine to go on. So different postgame look at it different ways. Some are very, very strict and say, yeah, you should only wait until the engine is running before you open the refrigerator, because then you're not going to cause it to go on. Others say no. I mean, what you're not allowed to do is a fire. Everybody agrees. You can't go to the fridge, open it up, and stand there like we all do.
There's nothing that you
looking for something you don't know what it is.
Like your son, I'm sure, does when he's high. He goes to the freezer, opens it up, sticks his head in. No, he doesn't? Oh, he does that. That you're not allowed to do, because then it's clear it's going to go on.
Yeah.
But for the momentary time that it takes you, that we also have this issue. So Rabbi very strongly disagrees with me, but I have who to rely on. Let's say you leave your oven on. How do you warm things Friday night? So we leave our oven on a timer, exactly this, and you put the soup in the oven. But there are other things in the oven also. So if I open the oven, that'll make the oven go on.
Yeah.
So the rabbi that I spoke to said, open your oven, take your stuff out, and close it. It's not automatic that it goes on right away. It's not.
Yeah. Well,
the experience will tell you that if you open it, take your stuff out, and close it, it'll be another little while before it goes on. That's not grandma. What?
But you're making it happen earlier.
She sets it for time to go off, or she just heats it up and leaves it there and shuts it off.
No, but I'm saying if it's set for time to go off, does she ever open it when it's still on?
No.
You don't. Okay, well, good. I'm not going to tell you not to do
that. Thing.
Hold on a second. Let me just finish.
But you can open it if you've got soup in there.
Hold in front of you page 3 and page 5. You almost never see this. I have to show it to you. Page 3. Page 3 and page 5 together.
3 and 5. Yeah, don't have five.
This is not Shabbos.
Must be there. There's 5?
3 and 5. So you remember on page 3, remember on page 3 we saw that Shabbos clocks are muktzah.
What
do
you mean? 5.
Yeah, I don't have 5.
Page 5. We have them page 5.
We don't have
5.
Here, I'll share.
Okay. No, but
thank you.
There are no more fives? There should be enough of each. Here, page 5.
Okay.
Here.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Adjusting, look what he says. See, first he talks about the concept of gram kibui. Like the malacha of mavir, mechabe is subject to the principle of grama. Right? Extinguishing is also. Therefore, indirectly causing a flame to become extinguished is usually prohibited. Example, opening a window near candles. Well, but not open the door or window opposite the candles on a windy day, because doing so allows the wind to blow in and is likely to extinguish the candles. Okay, that's a great example. A, adjusting a timer to turn off an appliance. If an appliance, e.g. lamp, air conditioner, heater, is controlled by a timer and set to go off after 2 hours, adjusting the timer to cause the appliance to turn off an hour earlier than planned is a question of gram kibbutz. Adjusting the timer in this way indirectly causes mechabeh, causes extinguishing.
Mm-hmm.
Some posts can prohibit this while others permit it. A rabbi must be consulted in those cases. In cases of great need, remember we talked about great need, gram kibbutz would be permitted. So, for example, if I knew that Chandra was in labor and she was going crazy and she needed to see and the light was off, right? So I would say to Amir, put in that pin so that the light will go on in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn on. It was better to do that than to turn on the light.
Mm-hmm.
Like a case of great need. But you should ask a rabbi, unless, of course, it's Shabbos and you're there and I'm here and then you're in big trouble. Okay. However, if the appliance is presently off, it is permitted to adjust the timer, e.g. to turn the dial back or slide away on an earlier on tripper, to cause the appliance to remain off for longer. One may even remove the dial completely to prevent the timer from turning the appliance back on again. The timer, switch, dial, and clips are not muktzah. You almost never, I was like, oh, great. You almost never find where two of these modern day English books will say entirely opposite things.
Yeah.
You know, so okay, but that's the way it is. We have the machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Mm-hmm. The accepted practice is to follow Rav Shlomo Zalman. And the people who want to be stringent on themselves, if I have Rav Moshe, Kavol and Bracha, let them do that. That is not my personal practice. Okay, so we've learned the halachas of Shabbos clocks. everybody should also realize that even if the Pistons are playing Friday night, you cannot check it out to watch a basketball game.
So be no
right, removing a place with that, like I explained. Replacing that would never be good for me. Okay?
Can you set up an urn?
One example. One thing you're not allowed to do is set a timer. Excuse me. Set a timer in order to have food cook on Shabbos. Because that's a problem not of the timer. It's a problem the posting. Modern day posting consider a timer for food like Hakazara, like returning food to the fire. And for that reason, you're not permitted like to set a coffee maker on Shabbos to go on Shabbos morning. That would not be permitted. And so therefore, that you would be permitted to do, but almost anything else you could set the time to do for Shabbos. Okay, have a good week. We have one more week to go. I want to thank Milt for sponsoring in memory of his father, Aleva Shalom, it should be on air for his neshama. And everyone should have a good week. One more week to go next week.
Oh, one more.
And then we'll take a break for the summer. No, you have what you want?